Sarah Hagen has a sister who used to work with us here at WGN Radio. Sarah, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, John. Good. How are you?
Oh, my God. You sound a little bit like your sister as well.
You wait until you hear my laugh. It sounds a little bit similar, too.
Tracy was famous for her laugh in our hallways, and that's all good. Sarah, so what suburb do you live in general, if you don't mind sharing that?
In Glen Ellen.
You're in Glen Ellen. And what happened to you the other day?
Oh, my gosh. It was yesterday. I was at work, and I just finished up a meeting, and I get a phone call from a local 630 number, which is an area code in DuPage County. And it says, this is Police Officer Sergeant David Gilmore, badge number and everything. I need you to write this information down. There are citations against you for failure to appear and then contempt of court. And I'm going, oh, my goodness, what just happened?
Did you wonder, maybe I got a thing in the mail I threw away and I was supposed to appear in court? I mean, you hadn't broken any laws, right?
No laws. And it was funny because at first I was joking. One of my colleagues gets called for jury duty all the time because she lives in Cook County. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, could it be a jury duty thing or whatever? I have no idea.
Yeah.
But it got very serious and he was like, write down these citation numbers, please.
Really?
And repeat them back to me. And so I had to write them down. I had
this is a live phone
them
call.
Back and
this
everything.
This is a live
phone call.
Let me just ask you this, though. Have you ever been arrested?
I have not.
Okay. So now this guy's giving you citation numbers for, I guess, things you were supposed to appear in court for. But if you hadn't been arrested, if you hadn't committed a crime, I'm wondering what the hell he's talking about. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was too. I thought I heard at first it was a jury duty, you know, failure to appear for jury duty. I've been in court recently, not from arrest related, but just with some child stuff, you know, getting some things cleared, and just going, my head spinning, going, what is going on here? And he just keeps going and going, and it's very scripted. I mean, please write this down. Please say this back. And then he starts going into, well, okay, for your failure to appear, there is a $4,000 charge. And for contempt of court, there is also a $4,000 charge. And I'm like, okay. He says, now you signed a summons. Now, I have three addresses for you in Glen Ellen, which is a truth. I have had three houses in Glen Ellen. Now, when you signed the original summons, it was at this particular address. And I'm like, I haven't lived there at that time. He says, well, at this address, it was also signed. Is it possible that somebody could have signed on your behalf? And I explained, no, my husband had passed away recently, and I have three kids that are minor, so can't, not possible. Like, there's nobody there to do that. He says, well, I'm going to need you to come in then and do a signature so that we can prove whether or not you actually signed these documents. And I'm going, what is going on?
This is a live phone call you're with a guy, but then, all right, suppose you said, okay, I'll go to the police department and sign the document. What was his scam then? What was he going to do?
No, so he says, but at first, you have two $4,000 charges totaling $8,000. You will pay those, and then you come in and sign. If it clears, then all good. If not, then you will be charged an additional $15,000, and you will serve 72 hours in jail and 30 days community. And so then it started turning to a money thing. And going, what police officer, sergeant, whoever, has a conversation about money? Weird, right?
Yeah. Well, the longer the conversation went, did more and more red flags go up for you then?
Right. So then I said, you know what, give me your badge number again. I don't think I wrote it down appropriately, and I'd like you to spell your name. And so he did. I mean, he could have probably clearly made it up, but gave me a name and badge number. And then I go, okay, now here's the thing. I'm done talking with somebody over the phone. I would like to have a live conversation, so I would be happy to come down to the police station. And then click, he hangs up.
Oh, really?
Yep. And I mean, just, and so I go, oh gosh, you know, I did. My bank account had some fraudulent charges this weekend. I'm going, what is going on? This is all so weird. And so I'm going, well, he had me read a bunch of stuff and say it back. So is he trying to get my voice? Like, yeah. What is it?
Yeah.
Because you don't know these days, right?
Oh, and yeah. So, sure. Keep going.
Yeah. So I went, I left work and I said, I'm going to go to the police station just to check this out. I just am not sure. And when I walked into the Glen Ellyn police station, the woman at the counter had greeted me, and I said, I'm just curious, is there a Sergeant David Gilmore here? And her face kind of, you know, she starts smiling, and she goes, oh, gosh, another one. She said, in the last 90 minutes, we have received dozens of calls and people visiting the police station because they were getting the same phone call.
I wonder what the so was he? Do you think if you hadn't, you know, called him out and chased him off, he hangs up? I wonder if he was then going to say, "All right, you need to pay. Give me your credit card number, and we'll make the charge, and then we'll refund the money if your signature, you know, exonerates you, something like that."
100%, and that's what I've heard, because I have actually a friend in. She works for a law firm in Glen Ellyn. A couple clients had called. They had been scammed, too. So it sounds like, you know, this was trying to get money. But interestingly enough, when I was talking with the police officer and giving him the readout, he's like, same citation number everybody else got, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And he said, I said, but it's really curious because I called the number back and it went to a voicemail. And the police officer was standing there, and I said, at first, it sounded like it went to a call center, and it clicked over real quick, and then it said, this is the confidential voicemail of Sergeant David Gilmore of the Glen Ellyn Police Department. If this is an emergency, please call 911. Otherwise, leave your name, number. I mean, it sounds totally legit, right?
Yeah. Wow.
So, but this company is, or person company has been calling a lot of people and a lot in Glen Ellyn, in the last day. So.
I wonder, you know, it could be somebody in Russia, or maybe it could be somebody in Glen Ellyn. Do they have any clue on, or is there any way they can try and trace the number or find this guy?
Well, I think they're taking all of the complaints right now. I gave the phone number that was called, and so they're putting all this information together to figure out what can be done. I jokingly made a joke with the police officer. I go, I just recently saw the Beekeeper movie with Jason Statham. I'm like, who's my Jason Statham? Like, if you've seen the movie, it's crazy what people will. I mean, I'm just hoping that nobody has given their information.
Well, I don't know that movie. Is that movie about people who fall prey to a scam?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And the woman, unfortunately, who got scammed took her life. And so Jason Statham, in grand Jason Statham style, went and took everybody in the company down. So.
Wow. Well, okay. So yeah. Thank God you didn't go any further. It's nice that you went to the police station, did a little investigative work, even if you chased the guy off. Maybe the only damage done is that in the amount of time you spoke to him, he captured your voice. But they can do that in an instant. So I don't think I'll bet you've gone back to your bank account to check your balances. Everything seems to be okay, right?
Everything is okay as it relates to that. So I'll keep a close eye on that. But hopefully, you know, I don't know. I'm not overly familiar with what the police can do, but hopefully, you know, in just hearing, you know, the name or a police sergeant calling and talking about fines and money might just help anybody who doesn't know that there are these scammers out there, that it stops them.
By the way, you said that the sergeant said his name was David Gilmore, right? I wonder mm-hmm. I wonder if he's just having fun with that name, since that's a famous name in music.
I Googled, because I went on right away and looked up Sergeant David Gilmore, and there was nobody in the area, so it may be some reference or whatever, but...
Well, Pink Floyd has a song called Money. You hear it on a lot of financial shows or in college dorms in the 1970s. Money. Sarah, I'm glad you were able to join us and tell us your story. It's a cautionary tale, and you did the right thing.
Okay.
Thank you, John. I'm happy to be on and let people know that this is going on. And, you know, we got to take care of each other and make sure that we don't fall prey to these scams.
By the way, just one other thing. I am so offended by, you should be too. I know we sort of take it for granted. That's the electronic world we live in these days. People can scam you. They can steal from you. They're getting very sophisticated about it. This wasn't even the level it can go to. But you notice that they said, if you want to call back, here's the number. And we'll have the badge number there and all of that. I mean, they actually do let you challenge them. And then they have anticipated it because they've set up a bogus phone number. Sometimes they steal legitimate phone numbers and route your call back to a legitimate source to the scammers. They didn't do that in this case. But it's people with everything but a gun trying to rob you. And on page 2 of the Sun Crimes today, Grandma's $50 million trust fund, a fake, feds say, and latest allegation against a scammer. There's a guy named Sean Grust, G-R-U-S-D, who was found guilty of a kind of scam, a fraud, a few years ago. Now, he's out pending sentencing. He goes back to California, and he conjures up another scam, too. So before this guy gets sentenced, they're saying, wait a minute, while he was out on parole, he's doing it again. So how long should we put this guy in jail? And the thrust of the story is that maybe they should put him in jail for even longer. And I'm thinking, yeah, if somebody comes up to you with a gun and robs you, how long do you go to jail for that? I think that's what everybody should be treated like. And maybe that's not long enough. Maybe I won't be satisfied with my supposition there that you would go to jail for a long time. But I think this Sean dude, who was shown in the paper in court in 2023, should go to jail not for 78 to 97 months, based on federal sentencing guidelines, but longer still. Here's a paragraph. On June 26th, he and his victims signed a settlement agreement in which he promised to repay them almost $20 million with a loan he had secured against a forthcoming fortune his grandmother left him in a family trust. This is what he was telling people. And some of them are attorneys and doctors and even financial advisors. He said, look, my grandma left me $50 million, but I can't get access to it until I'm 35, according to her will. So I'm sitting on $50 million I can't get access to. How about you give me $300,000, and then when I turn 35, I'll get the money and I'll pay you back with interest. And then he's got bogus documents from Wells Fargo and banks saying, yeah, this is legit. Well, it wasn't. And doesn't that sound like the sort of thing that you would notice and go, yeah, I'm not going to do that? I do think, I don't want to blame the victims here, but sometimes people get a little greedy. When you hear about something afoot which is guaranteed to make you more money than you'll get with a T-bill, who wants 5% when you can get even more? So people throw their money in. And, you know, if it's too good to be true, I mean, you just should be wary of that. Bernie Madoff, when markets weren't great, was making money for people who didn't really care to wonder how he was doing it, you know? Pete, where do we go here? How about Jim? You're on WGM in Rogers Park. Hey, Jim, you're on the air. How are you?
Hello, King John. Good to talk to you.
Hey, how are you?
You know, I'm good. But these things are always, you always have to wait for the money. That's always the point.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're not looking for credit cards. They're looking for cash. I had the most crazy phone call with somebody claiming to be ComEd. I actually had to call them back, and it was sounded like ComEd, and they told me that I had 3 months in my business worth of bills that were unpaid. And I told them that was wrong, and they said, well, that's my report that I've got here, and I need it to be paid, or you're going to get the power turned off today. And the consequences are scary. And, you know, so finally I said, well, all right, what do you need? You need a credit card number? He says, no. Go to a CVS and get a money pack. And that's when I said, no, I don't think so. And I typed in my computer right in front of me the actual scam, and it came up on the ComEd website right in front of my face.
Oh, wow. Well, I wonder if he had been willing to take your credit card. Do you think you would have given him your credit card number?
You know what? Listen, I like to think I'm a pretty intelligent guy. This sounded so legit, and I actually spoke to a guy and then his supervisor, and they're giving me so much detail, it's unbelievable. And really, the whole thing just really, it fit. It felt right. And I felt kind of trapped, because you can't run a business like mine without power. So, and it was really, really kind of one of those crazy things. And then I reported it to ComEd.
I wonder then they would have had you do a handoff, huh? You would have had a cash card or cash pack or something, and then they would have met you rendezvoused with you.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen. I mean, as soon as you said money pack, inside I just sort of started laughing, going, yeah, I don't think so. In fact, what I said to him was, I said, you're a bad scammer. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you're scamming me and you're bad at it.
Not only are you a scammer, you're not even a good one. You're the worst kind. All right, I'm out of time. Jim, I'm so glad you called. Have a good day. You remember that story about the finance writer out east who ended up pulling $50,000 in cash out of her bank, and over the course of 8 hours, from the first phone call to the transfer, a vehicle pulled up in front of her house. She handed them $50,000 in a shoebox, and she was a financial advice writer.